Welcome into another edition of the Jacob Bunn Show. Today we're going to start off with some college football topics, and we have a very special guest hanging out with us right now, Kelly Kitchens, who produces the opening drive on WJOX 94.5 FM in Birmingham. Kelly, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah, man. I don't know how special I am, but I appreciate the intro.
What's special to me? lately, the most prevalent topic has been college football expansion and the news, what did happen and what didn't happen. Right. We saw, of course, Colorado going to the Pac-10, giving the Pac-10 its, and Utah giving the Pac-10 its 12 teams. The Big Ten, of course, gaining Nebraska, getting its 12 teams. But there was a lot of buildup about the SEC possibly getting more teams, and Texas A&M was a hot school. What do you think is going to happen looking to the short-term future as well as the long-term future? What do you think will happen to the SEC?
I think eventually it'll be interesting to see as far as the Arkansas position, because Texas A&M was offered $20 million to stay in conference, and they still have that revenue sharing thing. So it'll be interesting to see Arkansas, if they did put feelers out, if they would go. They're more of a natural fit there, but the money, we both know, and the stability lies in the SEC. Would I want Clemson over in Arkansas? Absolutely. But it'll be interesting. I think we will see that. You know, Virginia Tech was a hot name at the time, but the problem with that is they're a package deal with Virginia, which is kind of funny. Florida State and Miami, they've still got somewhat of the name, but Miami really doesn't play SEC football, and they really offer nothing other than the Miami market, which you've already got with the Florida Gators.
Right.
But Florida State would be there for the name, and these teams will be good again, but what they once offered in the name and in football is lacking now, because I mean baseball, but I mean, how many people really
right go to baseball? And the money drives the sport, right. And in larger TV markets as well. What do you think are the best TV markets the SEC could possibly pursue?
I think you go and I didn't understand this. I think absolutely you go, if you can't get the Texas, you get the Texas A&M, but I can't see how Texas could sit on the sideline and watch A&M come to the SEC.
No.
Now I'm looking at it like this: instead of getting Texas and Texas A&M, I would go for one of them, or if you could possibly swing, get Oklahoma. Oklahoma plays an SEC style of football.
Yeah, they do. You're right.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see. I think honestly, what's going to happen is you may have this 10 team league for a little while. But I think ultimately you'll see TCU, which is a good fit at baseball. Going back to baseball again, baseball and football. I think that they can bring something kind of like Utah does to the Pac-10.
Right.
And I think ultimately you'll see Houston really felt slighted when Baylor got into the Big 12, and you know they were left hung out to dry. But they've got a lot of old money and a lot of people, you know, in high places that really are lobbying to get them in the Big 12. So I could see them going TCU, Houston, probably. Outside shot Arkansas,
yeah.
and the SEC has to look elsewhere. Yeah, I mean, they could go Georgia Tech, but I don't see Georgia Tech coming back there. They could go Suwannee,
yeah. Of course, Jerry Jones came out the other day and said that, or it was rumored that he said that he could get Notre Dame and Arkansas. We all know he can get Arkansas easily. He could probably make a donation and tell Arkansas to go anywhere. But Notre Dame, I don't see it, and
I've got some friends out in Texas, and I don't mean to take a shot at Jerry Jones when I say this, but I'm going to, from what I've heard, is he's that Larry the Cable Guy that came into a lot of money.
Yes,
but I want USC and Texas and all the big dogs to be in the SEC,
right.
Florida State and Miami. I mean, you can want all you want, but let's see which one fills up first.
How far away, looking at, I guess, years, do you think we are from a 4-16-team conference format, you know, a super conference league of in and of itself?
I think we're closer, but it'll be interesting because now I can't see the SEC sitting here going back to the money.
Right.
But sitting here, you know, they're going to probably come out with their own the network, or you know, like do something with the big teams, like Florida have their own, Alabama have their own, something like that. It'll be interesting to see, because ESPN with the rights now, that would be the perfect vehicle to drive it, but they're not going to put it, any kind of playoff is going to ultimately go back to the NCAA, and they're going to have to step in, and they're going to be part of it, any kind of tournament, and that's the big sticking point. So I mean, are the conferences willing to give it up for the greater scale, I guess you would say?
Well, the presidents have been big advocates of the BCS in the current system. A lot of people, though, are fed up with the system as it is, and want a playoff. Do you think if the Super Conference League never occurs, do you think a playoff is in the sights or not?
Here's the thing, and I'm just going to kind of give my opinion on it is, at first, I was a big, big fan of the playoff because you settle it on the field. Here's my problem with it, though. Now, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I don't like it, because here's what you get. You get a situation where Georgia got hot a couple years ago when they thought Georgia and USC. Georgia goes to the Sugar Bowl, beats Hawaii. But the bottom line is they got hot at the right time. You saw Florida in 06 in basketball.
Absolutely.
You know, they got hot at the right time. You get teams that get hot at the right time. They may not be the most consistent or best team the whole season. Then also it takes away your conference championship. I mean, let's be honest, because you're going to have a baseball kind of tournament where let's just go ahead and make sure we're good.
Florida and Alabama take the last 2 years.
Then you get in a situation where, you know, the little guys can say, oh, let's have a playoffs, let's let us in. But they're not going to beat an Oklahoma, USC, Alabama, and Florida.
Consistently. And sure, Boise State did beat Oklahoma once, but – I mean, as you said, every year, there's no way that can happen.
So as imperfect as it is, I think we still pretty much get – I mean, there's going to be arguments every once in a while, but I'd rather have those arguments than have someone who may have been the best team. And you say you play 12 games in the regular season, you go undefeated, you lose in the second – you essentially won 14, and then you finally lost one, and you lose in the semifinals.
So
the team lost three at the beginning. And
exactly.
They got in.
I mean, we have the best two teams on the field pretty much every year. Now, granted, Auburn a couple years ago did not get in, and there were three legitimate contenders then. But pretty much every year, last year, Alabama, Texas, who can argue?
Well, you know what's funny is I actually just read this stat. There has only been 14 times in the history of college football that unanimously there has been a national championship by every poll across the board. And there's teams like 02, and one of the teams that wasn't one of those unanimous teams was the 02 Ohio State team. You know?
that's a very staggering statistic there, 14.
Right. So, wow. I mean, it's really interesting to look at, but at the same time, I think that's part of the fun of it, because then once you get the playoff, you get in the situation where every week is so great. You're kind of watering down a little bit the regular season, because that's what I love. I love knowing if we lose, we may get back into it if everything breaks right.
Right. LSU got in with two losses a couple years ago, but I think that is very far-fetched.
Right.
I mean, won't happen again.
Yeah, that was a perfect storm of everybody collapsing in, and there's an argument they shouldn't have even been there. So undefeated in regulation, as Les points out.
Looking toward the 2010 SEC season, and it's been Alabama, Florida, pretty much domination of the conference the last 2 years. What do you see just – overall, we'll start with the West. Alabama is obviously at the top right now. LSU is always good. Auburn seems to be emerging. Arkansas looks like they're going to be this year's Ole Miss.
Right.
What do you see from the West?
Here's what I think. I think Arkansas, and I thought they were a year away last year. You know, the defense, it's all in that secondary. They're so spotty. The offense, the game you circle is the Alabama when they go up there. You'll find out a lot about a young defense. Very athletic across the board,
right. But
inexperienced. So if Arkansas wins that game, the schedule sets up favorably for them. Now, I think they will be able to get it, but I see also Nick Saban's going to go in there and pound the ball down their throat. They can't stop it. It's going to be a long night, and the clock will run. I think Auburn – I don't think Auburn – I think, you know, there's you hardly ever see a quarterback come in and take him to the SEC championship. And as good as I know that he is athletically, I still haven't seen it on the field, and you still want to see it go all the way through the season. I think LSU down there, the problem is you've got Crouton, who wants to throw the ball from out in the Mountain West area, BYU, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Les Miles, who wants to play Big Ten football, and it looks like they've never seen a football on offense. Let's be honest. On defense, you've got John Chavis, which is a great defensive coordinator. If you want the just old, bland calls, he struggles against the spread quite a bit.
You're right. That's a good point.
I'll take Alabama still just because the offense. I don't know many teams that are going to be able to stop that running game.
Looking at Alabama more in depth, do you think they will come out on top by default in the end, but do you think they limp into the championship game with a loss or two, or do you think they skate through undefeated? I mean, it's a pretty tough schedule this year.
It's a pretty tough schedule, but I think here's the question mark, is that defensive back, you know, with the injuries and with a couple losses, they're as good and as athletic as those corners are, there's five stars across the board. You know, I think the issue is – if Drake or Patrick, one of them goes down, you have inexperience and you don't have a five star there.
Right.
I mean, they will be good. Granted, I know they will be, mm-hmm. but you're going to have teams where you say Dre goes down in the first game, they go to Arkansas and then they have Brantley come in. They're going to get eaten up, or where they're going to have to play ball control. Or if one of the offensive linemen goes down, you don't know how that's going to play out either. I mean, if Blahos is coming back from an injury, but what if McElroy goes down?
Absolutely. And they have a lot of sandwich games. Those games, you know, the South Carolina, the Arkansas.
See, that's the game that I'm looking at. If you just look at Alabama, they go to Arkansas, they come back, they get UF. Those are two big games.
They are.
West, and then you look at, you know, you have Florida coming in with all that emotion. But right. Urban Meyer's very good in return games, but since Florida, they've split. It's 36-18 in against the West. Now they're 81-9 in the East. I mean, they just dominate the East and lose in the West. So it'll be interesting if Alabama, which I probably think that it'll be a close game, but they'll probably come off. They go to Columbia. Even if let's say you're still up. I mean, that's 3 weeks right there straight where you're going in there. And South Carolina played with them last year. Alabama could have gotten worse, but I was at that game, and South Carolina had an opportunity. And I'll say this about South Carolina: if they can't do it this year, they're never going to do it
right.
under Spurrier, because you got Florida coming back, you got Georgia switching to a new scheme, and you've seen how Mark Richt has been a roller coaster like Les Miles.
Mark Richt and Les Miles, they might want to, you know.
He's just coherent. The only difference.
Looking at the East, and I'll ask you more in depth about questions about Florida in just a minute, but as a whole, you see Florida, of course, dominated. Like you said, Mark Richt on the proverbial hot seat. Kentucky's always a threat. South Carolina's always a threat. Tennessee, I don't know if they even want to field a team this year. And Vanderbilt, they are what they are. What do you see from the East?
I think Tennessee, obviously, you got a whole new offensive line. You got a new quarterback. You got a new running back. I mean, this could really get ugly. You got Georgia. You got a new quarterback coming in. You've got AJ Green coming back. You got a mm-hmm. lot of talent on offense. There's a lot of potential there. They got a good offensive line. On defense, it'll be interesting to see how that scheme switches over. He's more of I think he's a Saban disciple, actually. So they're switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4. I believe yes. that'll help out, but you're still going to have that learning curve, and you still got the mentality of going to the cocktail party. I think, honestly, it'll come down. I think Florida will end up winning it, but I think Florida mm-hmm. will still have one or two losses on mm-hmm. the season. I think South Carolina will be right there, and it may even come down to the Florida-South Carolina game. It'll be interesting. A good gauging point will be that, obviously, the early season game with Georgia and South Carolina
right.
is always a good gauge. But as far as anybody else in the East, I can't see them bringing anything.
Tim Tebow will live now in history as one of the greatest college football players to ever play the game. Replacing him is not easy. How does the Florida offense respond this year with John Brantley?
You know, it's funny, and I've said this a couple times, is I'll find myself cussing at sometimes when it's 4th-and-1 this season. But the bottom line is it got to be a crutch where they didn't use any of the other playmakers. I mean, you virtually had no passing game last year. Mm-hmm. So Brantley is completely opposite. You'll see more of the running game. Demps actually just ran the 100 in 9.96.
Yeah.
You'll see him. You'll see Mac Brown, a young guy. Mm-hmm. The guy to keep an eye on, Andre DeBose. He missed last year, but he came in bigger than Percy Harvin. Urban Meyer, this was the guy. There's one in each class, and this is the guy that he's been talking about. Everybody's talked about him. He's probably – Percy, Chris Rainey, and Reggie Bush had the four best high school films I've ever seen, highlight reels. You'll see a lot of youth at receiver. Someone's going to have to step up. You've got Carl Moore coming back. Obviously, you lose the tight end.
Right.
I don't really worry about that. The thing about the Florida offense is probably going to have to outscore in most games, and the deal is going to be putting Brantley on his butt, because I don't care if you're Alabama. I don't care who you are. If he
right.
stands back there, he broke all the passing records in Florida. He holds all the records. His father played quarterback at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like, I mean, if you draw up someone throwing a football, that's how he looks every time he drops back. Started at the spring game, 5 for 5, 110 yards and 2
wow.
touchdowns. 48-yard pass on the first play of the game. And Shane Matthews and Danny Werfel separately have told us down on the opening drive that he will probably be and has the potential, they think, to be the best just passer, not
mm-hmm.
not winner, Tebow, you know, the intangibles is
right.
what he's not going to have, but just a passer in Florida history.
Well, that could develop, too. I mean,
right.
you could become a leader. I mean, obviously, be hard to duplicate Tebow.
He's more of a silent type. On defense, you've got the loss of Brandon Spikes. These guys are the fastest core that Florida's ever had. They're inexperienced, though. You'll have Janoris Jenkins on one side, which is a great cornerback. The secondary should be all right. The tackle, the ends is where I worry about. You'll have a bunch of good guys, no all-stars on the defensive line until someone emerges. Now, you know they had one of the best defensive recruiting classes ever. Then that's going to have to pan out. I mean, mm-hmm. those guys are a year away. You can't. That's right. One of the biggest things is the offensive line and defensive line. They're still so undersized, they'll just get tossed around. And maybe against Tennessee, they may fare well.
Well, I think pretty much everybody's going to fare well against Tennessee this year.
Hoover might play farewell against Tennessee.
UT Martin, look out. Well, it should be another great year of college football in the South.
Can I jump in real
quick? Absolutely.
If Alabama or Florida or someone else kind of emerges and gets another national title, this is going to be one of those things because Florida, this year is going to be a lot like Florida 07. If you're going to get them, you better get them now because this is going to be where they're inexperienced. The talent's there. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have Florida, I would venture to say, will win one out of the next three in the next 3 years. Alabama may win another one this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama won it this year, Florida wins it again the next year. And you look at it going back to 04, that could be 4 out of 5, adding 2 more, where you're sitting there at 6 out of 7, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it's complete domination. Right. I mean, we very much appreciate Kelly hanging out with us today a little while. Again, you can hear his show if you're in Birmingham or in the Alabama area on the Jocks Network or WJOX 94.5 or anywhere else in the world at jocksfm.com. And you also host a show on Jocks. You want to say
it'll be back during football season. It's on the field. And then I'll also be doing the Alabama postgame shows calling in. So, yeah.
Well, good. We'll look forward to that. Again, thanks, Kelly. And hopefully he'll be on with us again sometime.
Anytime, man. I appreciate it.